Blog Talk Radio.
Your host, Brianna Densher, and you are listening to the New Heights Show on Education. The New Heights Educational Group and Corporation promotes literacy for children and for adults by offering a range of educational support services. Such services include assisting families in the selection of schools, organization of educational activities, and acquisition of materials. We promote a healthy learning environment and enrichment programs for families of preschool and school-age children, including children with special needs. The New Heights Educational Group offers support to all students, whether in public schools, private schools, charter schools, or to homeschooled students. Today's show is aimed towards discussing a very, popular topic, and the topic is homeschooling. So on today's show, we will be discussing homeschooling as well as state laws and other dilemmas or issues that parents may face and how to deal with them. Visit us online at www.newheightseducation.org, or you can also contact the New Heights Educational Group directly by calling 419-786-0247. You can also email us at newheightseducation@yahoo.com. Please remember to push follow us for updates on upcoming shows, or you can visit our website to see host bios and keep track of your favorite hosts and all of our shows. Here are the following announcements from the New Heights Educational Group for this week. First off, the New Heights Educational Group would like to welcome back returning pioneer host, Kaden Bahan. Kaden Bahan was the original host for the show back in January of 2013. She will host her first Return Live internet show in August this year. Ms. Bahan's show will be pre-recorded weekly. The New Heights Educational Group's other broadcasts as part of the New Heights Show on Education are mostly live. On our show, Kaden will explore resources, teaching styles, and advancements for those with special needs and disabilities. The New Heights Show on Education reaches all over the world and offers many hosts that cover many educational topics. Kathy Woodring hosts a history-related show. Jan Williamson hosts a pre-recorded show in which she shares a story with her audience once a week. Priscilla Shearing discusses common core myths and realities. Victoria Lowry focuses on soft skill development, including love and dating. And my show is a multi-topic show that airs every Friday from 12:30 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And once again, I would like to take this time to thank everyone for tuning in weekly to my show and having the chance to explore a variety number of topics with me. So thank you all for giving me a chance to do that every Friday. The New Heights Educational Group looks forward to expanding its listening audience and welcoming back Kaden Bahan, the original host of this ever-expanding show. Our library is still in storage, and the new school year is fast approaching. We are looking for a donated space in Defiance, Ohio, and have recently considered building a small building on the Clark property to house the library. We need funds and building materials and volunteer labor to make this a reality. Please consider helping us with this endeavor. Our website redesign is still underway, and we are excited by all the great features and new resources that will be available to families very soon. Keep watching for these updates and stay tuned for a new website. On September 1st, the New Heights Educational Group will be launching its own magazine. More information will be shared this month. Now, back to today's show on the topic of homeschooling, also known as home education. So what exactly is homeschooling? Well, homeschooling is the education of children inside of a house as opposed to in the formal setting of a public or private school. Home education is usually conducted by a parent or a tutor. And there are also, in some cases, instances where a child is doing the work by himself most of the time and is guided by the parent or by the tutor. So obviously, you know, the amount of guidance given by a parent or by a tutor depends on the age of a child and the grade level. So obviously, a child who is in grade first or second will need more guidance and more given attention in homeschooling than a child who is in high school. Many families that start out with a formal school structure at home often switch to less formal ways of imparting education outside of school. Homeschooling is the term commonly used in North America, whereas home education is most commonly used in the United Kingdom, elsewhere in Europe, and in many Commonwealth countries. Prior to the introduction of compulsory school attendance laws, most childhood education was imparted by the family or by the community. Compulsory education refers to a period of educational studies that is required of all persons and is imposed by law. Depending on the country, this education may take place at a registered school, schooling, or at home, homeschooling. Compulsory education has been heavily criticized on various grounds, however, and some of these reasons are that it violates freedom and liberty. Whether or not one wants to send one's child to school should be an individual choice. It encroaches on the rights of children, and it encroaches on the rights of parents. So many feel as if compulsory school attendance laws should not be in effect and, in fact, violate many of the individual rights of both parents and of children. In several countries, homeschooling in the modern sense is considered to be an alternative to attending public or private school and is a legal option for parents. In other countries, homeschooling is considered illegal or restricted to specific conditions, as noted in the Homeschooling International Status and Statistics. According to the U.S. National Household Education Survey, about 3% of all children in the United States were homeschooled in the year of 2011 and 2012. The studies found that of these children, 83% came from a white background, 5% were African American, 7% were Hispanic, and 2% were Asian or Pacific Islander. Parents typically cite two main motivations for homeschooling their children: dissatisfaction with the local schools and the interest in increased involvement with their children's learning and development. Parents' dissatisfaction with available schools include concerns about the school environment, the quality of academic instruction, the curriculum, and bullying, as well as lack of faith in the school's ability to cater to their child's special needs. So a lot of the parents homeschool their children because they feel as if the local public schools or private schools do not offer the academic rigorous courses that they want their children to take. And many families homeschool and have their children take very rigorous academic courses in the fields of, you know, mathematics, science, social studies, and the English language arts. And they feel as if the local school districts are just not doing enough, especially with the addition of the Common Core standards, to prepare their children and to educate them. There's also a lot of concerns, and I think this is a, you know, a very common reason as to why some families opt out to homeschooling, is because of the school environment and the negative impacts it might have on children. And this especially goes on children who may be bullied, who may be made fun of by their peers, and this may cause a student to not be able to fully concentrate in school and many times want to miss school or not even go altogether. So homeschooling provides an option for children to stay at home and learn and kind of be isolated from all of the negative effects that come or may come in school. So some parents homeschool in order to have greater control over what and how their children are taught, to better cater for children's individual aptitudes and abilities adequately, to provide a specific religious or moral instruction, and to take advantage of the efficiency of one-to-one instruction, which allows the child to spend more time on childhood activities, socializing, and non-academic learning. And there's also some families who homeschool because they feel as if their children are not necessarily reaching up to the standards of those given in public schools. Because usually in public schools, all of the children in our classroom are following the exact same schedule and have the same structure. And, you know, despite the fact that there are the No Child Left Behind programs and the addition of the Common Core standards, there are many children in schools who are either feeling that they are not necessarily excelling the same way as the students in the classroom as their peers, or they feel as if they are being bored in school because they are excelling above what their peers are doing in school. So homeschooling is definitely a great way for a child to learn at their level, especially if a parent or a tutor or another academic individual is designing a plan specifically for the child. Homeschooling is legal throughout the United States. Each state is free to create its own legal structure for home education. So one state's homeschooling laws may look very different from another's. And a few examples of what this may mean is, well, taking, for example, the states that are like common from where my listeners come from are perhaps Ohio and New York. So Ohio has more a leniency towards homeschooling, and they are not necessarily as strict on homeschooling laws, whereas a state like New York and Pennsylvania are very rigorous and require parents to comply with a lot of homeschooling laws. So it definitely depends on where a child lives and where they are being educated. And there's definitely some states with low regulations, while there are states with very high regulations. And it is important for parents to understand these laws that are in their states and to be able to comply with all of the laws that the homeschooling being done at home is, in fact, done legally. And, you know, there are several states, and I have dealt with this personally. Like I mentioned, New York is one of the states that has very high regulation, and there's actually very few of those states. They're located on the eastern coast of the U.S., which includes Pennsylvania, New York, Massachusetts. These are some of the states that have very high regulations, whereas most of the states, especially on the western coast of the U.S., are not as, you know, high regulating as some states. So once again, it is important for families to understand the laws that are in each state and to be able to comply with them. And specifically talking about New York's homeschool laws states that the first thing that a family should do is submit a notice of intent, submit an individualized home instruction plan, and be required to comply with day, hour, and subject requirements, to file quarterly reports, and to assess your child annually. So an annual assessment is required every year in the state of New York. In grades 1 to 3, a student can take a standardized test, or a parent can choose to submit a written narrative evaluation for a student. In grades 4 to 8, standardized testing is required at least every other year, with a written narrative evaluation available as an option in the years you do not use a standardized testing option. So, for example, a family could use a written narrative evaluation in grade 4, but would not need to use a standardized test in grade 5, and so on. And standardized testing is required every year when a student is in high school. The standardized test can be administered at the local public school or at a registered non-public school. A test can also be administered in a house or at any other reasonable location by a New York certified teacher or by another qualified person, which includes the student's parent with the consent of the superintendent. A family can obtain consent by simply notifying the superintendent in your third quarterly report what test you will be using, and she will be administering it. And to demonstrate satisfactory progress, a student's composite score must be above the 33rd percentile, or the score must reflect one academic year of growth compared to a test administered the prior school year. Written narrative evaluations may be conducted by a certified teacher, a home instruction peer group review panel, or other person with the consent of the local superintendent. Just as with a standardized test, it can be obtained implied consent by notifying the superintendent in your third quarterly report that a family will be submitting a written narrative evaluation and by whom it will be prepared. So definitely New York laws in terms of homeschooling are very strict, they are very rigorous, and it is very important that in a state like New York, families follow the laws exactly as specified. In terms of talking about the state of Ohio, children must attend school or comply with the homeschool laws between the ages of 6 and 18 years old. So Ohio parents may choose to homeschool under the state's homeschool statute or as a non-chartered, non-tax-supported school. And the first option, which is much more common, homeschooling under Ohio's homeschool statute, is that children may be excused from compulsory attendance in order to be home educated if their parents comply with the state's homeschool regulations. And these are some of the steps that homeschoolers should follow under this option. So submitting an annual notification to the school district in order for your child to be excused from compulsory attendance, making sure that a parent has the required qualifications, teaching the required subject, teaching the required number of hours, and assessing a student annually, which once again involves taking the required standardized exam. And now I think for the questions that are most commonly occurring, especially when a homeschooled student is in high school, is can a homeschool student get into college? And are the homeschool student's chances of getting into college the same as those of a student who is attending public or private school? So usually there's a common misconception that homeschoolers have difficulty when it comes to getting into college. While this may have been true decades and decades ago, these days colleges are making the process of admissions for homeschoolers simple and fair. In fact, many colleges are now seeking out homeschoolers themselves, as homeschool students tend to be excellent college students. So many of the top schools, including the Ivy Leagues like Harvard, MIT, Duke, Yale, and Stanford, are all actively recruiting homeschoolers. These schools don't just grudgingly accept homeschooled students. They do everything they can to get them in the door, recognizing that homeschoolers are often better prepared for college than their brick-and-mortar schooled peers. Many colleges are adjusting their admissions policies. So if back in the day it was difficult to get into college as a homeschooler, nowadays colleges are increasingly adjusting their admissions policies to be more homeschool-friendly. Many accept portfolios of work instead of transcripts and offer a more flexible admissions procedure. Being a homeschooled student can help you stand out in an admissions process. In highly competitive admission situations, it can be hard for students to differentiate themselves from the rest of a small army of applicants all vying for the same spot. Students with homeschooled experience have an advantage here, as they're different in a good way. A rumor has also been floating around that if homeschoolers want to be eligible for federal student aid, they'll need to get a GED. This, in fact, is not true. Homeschooled students are specifically exempt from this requirement. But students must be careful because some colleges and universities do believe that this is, in fact, true. So it is important for students to do research beforehand and to make sure that they are getting the federal student aid that they are eligible for when going into college. Homeschoolers often earn more college credits in high school. So researchers found that often homeschooled students earn more college credits before their freshman year of college than other students. On average, homeschoolers had 14.7 college credits versus 6.0 credits for traditional school students. And this can also be due to the fact that homeschoolers have a variety number of subjects they can take and at the pace they want. So if a student who was homeschooled wanted to finish the courses that they're required to very quickly, they can then go on for the remaining school year to take on college courses that they wanted to. Homeschooled students do very well in college. Throughout their college careers, students from a homeschooled background tend to do better than traditional students. Homeschooled freshmen in their first semester of college average a 3.37 GPA to the 3.08 of other freshmen and continue to keep their advantage even into senior year with 3.46 versus 3.16. So here are some tips to make a college admissions process easy if you are a homeschooled student. First off, knowing what to expect and keeping good records. Colleges will expect to see what you've met certain criteria, so be sure that you know ahead of time what you need to complete in your high school years. Keeping careful records and being ready to share what you've learned in a transcript, the colleges can better understand what you've been working on. Not slacking on deadlines, and this includes especially the SAT or ACT exams and submitting applications. So if in a regular school, in a brick and mortar school, students are notified by academic advisors and guidance counselors and teachers of these deadlines, homeschool students may not necessarily have this advantage. So it is important for families to understand the deadlines and to understand what dates certain tests are administered so that no problems arise in the future. Not waiting to start getting college credit. So you don't necessarily have to be in college to get college credit these days. High schoolers, including homeschooled ones, can earn college credit while in high school, taking advantage of dual enrollment, distance learning, and AP courses. And there is, as we've talked about in a few of my previous programs, a lot of virtual schools, some that are even offered free by the state, where a student can take courses online. There are many courses that are AP courses, advanced placement, IB courses, and even college courses. So it is important for students to do research and for parents to assist students in doing research to make sure that if a student wants to get college credit and wants to take these rigorous courses, that they have this advantage and that they know where to do so. And your application essay is of utmost importance. Experts report that even schools that typically don't read every essay will almost always read essays from homeschoolers. Why? Well, most admissions officers presume a bias in transcripts and give special attention to other documentation. That means that you'll really have to deliver when it comes to your essay, letters of recommendation, and test scores. So, you know, there's definitely a lot of people who are still very biased towards homeschooling, and they feel as if homeschooling is not necessarily the equivalent of a brick-and-mortar school. And in many cases, people feel as if homeschooling allows a student to be able to learn at their own pace. But critics think that, you know, a student who is homeschooled is not necessarily getting the social interaction with his or her peers. So it is important, most important, that a student is being involved in some extracurricular activities and sports and any other hobbies that they want to participate in, that they are getting the social interaction that they should be getting with students their own age. So I definitely, personally, I am definitely for homeschooling. I think that it is a great alternative to a regular school, at times for many students even better. And I do think that if a student in a family feels as if homeschooling is the best way to go, that it is the best way for students to learn, that they should definitely be able to utilize this right and definitely have this advantage to being able to homeschool at home. So I'm definitely for homeschooling, and I think that as long as a student is learning, as long as they are having, you know, a specific requirement every single day, or, you know, they are following a specific learning structure and having academic classes, especially in the fields of mathematics, English language arts, social studies, and science, that definitely any kind of way, whether homeschooling, private schools, public schools, charter schools, virtual schools, they're all definitely all flexible, and especially with the increasing number of technology, they're all definitely great ways and definitely alternatives for a student, and they're definitely a great way for a student to be academically studying while also feeling comfortable in the learning environment that they are in. So thank you to everyone for tuning in to this week's show. This was definitely a very fun topic to do, especially since I am very heavily involved in virtual schools and homeschools, and I definitely think it's a great thing that homeschooling is available today to families, and I do think that, once again, homeschooling is definitely a very positive thing, and definitely if families want to utilize homeschooling, they should definitely have the right to do so. Once again, thank you all for tuning in every single week to my show. It is an honor to have you guys tune in and to explore these fascinating educational topics with me every single week. Thank you once again. Have a wonderful rest of the weekend. Happy August, and I will see you all next Friday. Take care, guys.